All right, Krishna, everyone, this is Achyuta Bhava from Nightlight Astrology. Today is Bhakti Wednesday, and I am very glad to introduce a new series that Ashley is doing with one of her spiritual teachers, Rukmini Devi Dasi. This is a really special series on devotional mysticism and the wisdom of plant teachers. This is something that is very near and dear to me, someone who really came to yoga through plant teachers in the Amazon. My wife is an herbalist, and she is very close to the plants, the wisdom of the plants. And Rukmini Devi Dasi is a revered teacher of bhakti yoga, and she has a love of the natural world and of the way in which nature can participate in our growing closer to our divine source. So I think you guys will really enjoy this series. I'm doing this little intro this week, but if you see this in weeks going forward, I think they'll probably be doing, maybe even like 10 in this series, and I'm letting them kind of use the Bhakti Wednesday platform because I really think that you guys will enjoy their message and their work. So without saying too much more, I hope that you really enjoy it. Hare Krishna.
Welcome, lovely people. Thank you so much for being here. This episode is the beginning of a new series called Devotional Mysticism and Plant Teachers. In this space, we'll be exploring the rich history of plants and their connection to ancient and modern mystic traditions and their inclusion in myths, sacred texts, and their use as spiritual aids in ceremony and in modern practice. Our hope is to inspire our listeners to see the plant world with a greater sense of wonder and reverence and inspire a greater love, gratitude, care, and compassion for these plants and also for our own journey. Now, a little bit about this series. This is going to be a conversation, a dialogue. We're going to be chatting back and forth. So, buckle up because, you know, we both are very excited about this topic. So there's going to be a lot of energy in this series. I'm so happy to have my dear friend and spiritual mentor, Rukmini Walker, joining me for this talk. I hope to contribute my love of traditional stories and plant lore, along with my 15 years of clinical herbal experience. And Rukmini will be bringing over 5 decades of experience as a student and a teacher of religious studies and her devotional practice on the path of bhakti yoga that she has also been practicing for over 5 decades. Rukmini shares my love of plants. So that is something that we both will bring into the conversation. And if you want to learn more about Rukmini's work, you can look her up on YouTube, Rukmini Walker. Also, she has a Patreon community that you can look up, and I'll include links in the description, as well as her work with Urban Devi, which serves to uplift the voices of Vaishnavi women in the bhakti community. So, Rukmini, welcome, and thank you so much for being here today and for engaging in this discussion.
Thank you so much. What an honor. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So maybe, you know, I think because this is the spirit of these talks is devotional in nature, maybe you could open us with some prayers just to sort of set the mood for our listening.
Thank you so much. I'm going to say a couple of prayers in the Sanskrit language and then one in English that I cherish. So Om Agyana Chinarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksun Litangi Natasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. And then here's one in English that I love very much. To me, this is very inclusive. May the entire universe be blessed with peace and good hope. May everyone, driven by envy and enmity, become pacified and reconciled. May all living beings develop abiding concern for the welfare of others. May our own hearts and minds be filled with purity and serenity. May all these blessings flow naturally from this supreme benediction. May our attention become spontaneously absorbed in the rapture of pure love unto the transcendent Lord. Thank you so much.
So beautiful. Thank you. Yeah. And I think that this dialogue that we're going to really start today is our introduction to the whole series, is really about the connection to this divine Lord, this great spirit, and all of the creations that have come from this energy. So, when we were going back and forth with the name of this talk, we landed on devotional mysticism and plant teachers. And I think it's really important, what does this mean? You know, maybe you could share a little bit about what is devotional mysticism? What is mysticism? And, you know, why is this relevant to the conversation we're going to be having together?
Thank you so much. Yeah. You know, when I think of devotional mysticism, I think of how all spiritual traditions of the world have their mystics, the Sufis, like Rumi or Hafez, the modern mystics like Simone Weil, the Catholic mystics like Saint Teresa and Saint John of the Cross. And to me, all these voices, and you know, we're also going to, in this dialogue, in this conversation, we're going to be bringing in the idea of sacred voices from other species also. So to me, the idea of voices of the other is just so enriching. And to me, it's almost like an underground spring that surfaces up in different places in the world, in different oases or reservoirs all over the world. And the language may be different and the images may be different, but there's that deep resonance and like a sense of wonder when we encounter a kindred spirit from another tradition or another species. Yeah, this sense of wonder, I think, is very sacred, and opens us up to the experience of the divine.
Yeah, and I think too, you know, that the more we can come together and see our alike, how we're more alike than we are different, both across different religious practices and also, you know, across species, this can really open up, like you said, it can open up a dialogue and open up our perception, because, you know, how we have these amazing senses, but plants have a lot of senses too, that are, you know, they've been on this planet, according to modern science, for, I think it's like 475 million years longer than humans. And so this idea that they are, you know, really kind of our elders in some way, in terms of how to live efficiently and cooperatively on this planet. So, I think that the more we can open to this sense of wonder within these other species is really, really sweet. And, you know, maybe, you know, what do you think about mysticism? I mean, how do you think the mystics saw plants, and what was their understanding of the vegetal world, if you could call it that?
Interesting. Well, the first one who comes to mind is, of course, Hildegard von Bingen in the medieval times. She was such a super genius, a superwoman, really. She composed symphonies. She wrote poetry. She was an herbalist. She was a healer. I mean, she did healing by, you know, we hear about slow cooking these days, but she was doing slow healing by touching the patient, hearing, smelling. I think in acupuncture, they talk about in the five elements acupuncture. So she used this term, the greening of the soul, which is so beautiful. To me, this is devotional mysticism. This is a tangible experience of that divine connection. And to me, what you were just describing, being enriched by our diversity. In the world today, I think people feel that diversity impoverishes us. But in fact, we're enriched by our diversity. You know, like imagine a garden with one color flower, right? Or, you know, one flower, only one flower. No, we're enriched by the diversity of shapes and sizes and colors. And I think that's the way our world is. So I think it's urgently important today, as you were saying, to have that conversation and be enriched by the diversity of this world, to be enriched by the other. I love that the Dalai Lama says that when we speak, we only talk about what we already know. But when we listen, we can learn so much. So I think the conversation we're having today that we're opening up is about listening to the voices of the other species, the other cultures and to be enriched and to go to that place of wow, to that place of amazement and that sense of wonder, which opens us up to a tangible experience of divinity. It's to me, mysticism is, it's an encounter with that sense of wonder, the inexplicable wonder of a reciprocation of divine love. And, I wanted to share that the great theologian Houston Smith said that the mystics are the impatient ones. They don't want to wait until death for a divine vision or reciprocation or an exchange of the sweetness of love. So, I think, the mystics are the ones who want it. They want it now, and they want it real, and they want it to be experiential. They want to taste it. They want to smell it. You know, this is bhakti. To engage in bhakti yoga, we talk about engaging all the senses in the service of the Lord of the senses. Krishna has a name, Rishikesh, which means the Lord of all the senses. So I think this is practical, experiential mysticism, you know?
Yeah, because you can actually take the plants in. You know, you can, you know, as for me as an herbalist, probably the plants that I give the most are the nervines. And these are the ones that calm the nervous system because, you know, I think a lot, there's so many, the word mysticism and mystics is so popular because we're all in a rush. You know, it's like our culture is so fast paced. We don't have time to go to the woods and retreat for years and read all of the books we know we need to read. So there is this sort of, I think the times call for this urgency. And what the plants can do is they can inform our nervous system. And, you know, I'm not talking about plants like entheogens that alter our consciousness in a way where maybe we lose touch with, our own self in a way, but just gentle plant guides that, like the nervines, they just take that, the intensity of your nervous system down a notch so that you can really be more present to what's actually right there in front of you.
Right.
You know, and I think that that's so necessary right now. The urgency, I think our urgency is unfortunately being directed for the wrong things.
Yes. And, you know, you're reminding me of, you know, the need to pause and the need to breathe. And I wanted to share this beautiful quote I just found this morning that I love so much. This is from a woman named Mary Jane Robinson, and she's speaking about astonishment. And she says, the wider the mouth is open in astonishment, the more air the animal can take into its body. Wonder, in other words, makes a living being breathe better. The wanderer wonders, jaw dropped in astonishment, incomprehension, anticipation, even rage, ears trained on what calls for help, for justice, for thought, eyes wide open to the absence of sense, like what you were saying, right? That, and then the limits of knowledge, our knowledge is so limited, right? The touch of all things that opens out possibility. Perhaps that is then, perhaps dwelling in wonder is merely a matter of learning to breathe. Isn't that so beautiful?
That is so beautiful. And, you know, this is directly connected to the plants. You know, Susan Weed, a very popular herbalist, especially in the late 60s and early 70s, she has this great quote that says, life is a giveaway dance between us and the plants. A giveaway dance, because the plants, they breathe out the oxygen that we breathe in, and we breathe out the carbon dioxide that they breathe in. And so this astonishment of like, I mean, is it not that we're just breathing when we take that deep breath of awe in? I mean, that's literally a gift from the plants. Without them, that breath isn't even possible.
And doesn't it also speak to the interdependence of all living beings? So we are not independent. We are, in one sense, we are dependent on divinity. But I wanted to say that bhakti, bhakti is this tradition I come from. Bhakti is about an offering of the heart, an opening of the heart, The word bhakti comes from the word bhaj, which means to share, to partake, to participate, to belong. So this idea of bhakti, so there's this vertical love reciprocating between ourselves and the divine, which is vertical, right? But then there's also a horizontal sharing of all living beings, which the soul is present in all living beings, you know? Every living being breathes and cries and celebrates and, you know, all of these things that we all share amongst the animals and the plants. This is so sacred. So this horizontal love, interconnectivity between all living beings is very much a part of the, I think, the Eastern spirituality. You know, I think in Western spirituality, they think more about stewardship. And in the Eastern spirituality, it's maybe more about participating. We're mm-hmm. participants, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I love that image. I mean, that's like the sacred cross that we see in so many religions, that intersection of the vertical and the horizontal. Mm. And that middle place is the heart, right? Isn't that in our bodies where, you know, if you put your arms out, that's where it hits, is in the heart. And yeah, I love this, that image of, you know, I think the great mystics really had this deep appreciation and astonishment for the love that you can feel as you reciprocate with the natural world. You know, if you, you know, hugging trees, you know, I know this is a popular thing now, but as it should be, but, you know, this idea that, you know, we can connect heart to heart with other species. I mean, if you've ever had a pet, it's so obvious that there is a reciprocation between the pet and the pet owner. And so why not with the plants? I mean, I think too, the plants love us. I mean, my zinnias love me, I think, as much as I love them, because I care for them. I, you know, take off the heads that are falling or that are fading, and I give them everything they need, and they just, I feel their joy. It gives me joy. And I can't help but think that there is a relationship, a circle.
Beautiful, beautiful, circular love. Love is round, you know? And you mentioned this idea of hugging trees. And I don't know if you know this, but the idea of hugging trees came from India, from the women of the Himalayas, when they, you know, the developers wanted to chop down all their sacred trees. And these women, I think they're called Chukupko community. I hope that's right. They were hugging the trees, and, you know, you will kill me before you will chop this tree. And that's where wow. The whole idea of tree hugging comes from, you know? So yeah, this interdependence is so sacred. This diversity of voices uplifts us all, you know, we're all enriched by that. I wanted to share this one. I didn't want to miss, because we're talking about the mystics and the sense of wonder. So I wanted to share this beautiful quote from the poet Rumi. And he says, when I try to write about love, my pen breaks apart and it becomes like a donkey stuck in the mud.
Yeah.
So yeah, this sense of wonder, the sense of wonder, it's the doorway to gratitude. It's the doorway to reciprocal love, to reciprocation, you know? Everyone wants, what do we want more than anything in this world? Each and every one of us. To love and be loved for who we really are, to be heard, to be seen. Like you're saying, you're seeing the zinnias and they're seeing you. So every living being wants to be seen. Like what about the studies they've done of plants when they play Mozart or something? Yeah. And the plants will grow to the music. Of course, they grow to the light. But then sometimes when there's heavy metal music, the plants will turn away.
Yeah.
I could discriminate. You know, toward any of your listeners who might love heavy metal music, but it's just so interesting that we all want to be seen. We want to be heard. We want to be loved for who we really are. We want to give love and receive love for who we really are. I think that's so important.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. And, you know, I think the diversity among plants, you know, plants can be male, female, and they can be both. You know, some plants are non-binary, you know, they actually have, and some plants have both parts. Some plants can change their parts. And so, you know, you can see in the natural world, just, yeah, like there's just so much we can learn from studying, you know, how these plants have evolved. You know, there's this one tobacco species flower that grows out in the desert, where it will flower this yellow flower, and has a very specific shape that brings in the bats. And so the bats come and they pollinate it, but then the bats also poop. And so then the plant will start to get covered with the heavy guaro or guano, I think it's called. And so then the plants will stop making that flower, and it'll make a completely different, smaller little yellow shaped flower to bring the flies in, who will eat that guano off and then pollinate it for its next batch. So it's just, I mean, really the intelligence of these species is amazing. And, you know, I think for our talks that I hope to really touch on is, you know, like the science and like the things we've observed through our senses that plants do, but then also the story and the symbolism. And I think this is something that is so rich, especially in the traditions of Christianity and Bhakti and Sufism, right? Is how these traditions also, you know, plants are woven into their history.
So rich. And, you know, I know our next session we'll speak about the rose, but how, you know, the rose was so celebrated by the so-called pagans. And then, you know, the early Christians tried to dismiss it because, oh, that's something pagan, but the rose couldn't be dismissed, right? And then they had to adopt it and align it with Mother Mary. So yeah, it's so astounding and so fascinating. So, but isn't it, to me, mysticism is about how this divinity, this mystery that's closer than our own selves, right? That divine being who's closer than my own self and yet beyond us as well, the greatest mystery, so near and yet so far, you know, it's such a mystery. And that, you know, I can call out in love and in prayer, you know, desiring that connection, and that reciprocation can come, you know, or not come. And I can call and call and call, and sometimes it comes. And sometimes it doesn't come, and sometimes I have to wait. And, you know, it's just so interesting and so, to me, so mystical.
Yeah.
So beyond our ken, right? Beyond our understanding. It's not something that can fit in my teeny tiny brain.
Yeah. Yeah. I was looking up, I thought, I love one of my favorite websites to visit is, you know, etymology.com, and looking at the roots of some of the words we use. And so I looked up, the etymology of the word mystic, and it comes from the late 14th century mystike, which means spiritually allegorical, pertaining to mysteries of faith.
Wow. So much about the metaphor. So I think, you know, our conversations are and will be so enriched by these metaphors. And the plants are all about those divine metaphors that we can, you know, that point us to something beyond, like, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that like, you know, in India, they have an example that they give when they're trying to explain some concept. They use this metaphor that, okay, look up in the sky. And look between the two branches of the tree. And you see between those two branches of the tree, there's the moon. So the metaphor gives that frame of reference and points us to something beyond ourselves.
Mm.
So I think that's, you know, so beautiful and so rich and so deep and empowering.
Yeah. Yeah. This poetic, this part of our hearts that is just naturally, you know, poetic, that we speak and we think, we love in poetry and in symbolism and story. So, you know, I really hope this series opens not just people's minds, but their hearts too. Like maybe in listening to these talks, like the language of their heart can be inspired in some way. And this idea of the etymology, the meaning of pertaining to the mysteries of faith. I mean, to me, the plants, I mean, we don't understand a lot about them as much as we don't understand a lot about ourselves, but can this awe and this mystery point us back to faith, this unwavering trust in this higher power and this creator that is just as much a part of the plant who changes flower shapes as us who change hairstyles and, you know, you know, locations and all of that.
Right. And, you know, when you mentioned poetry, I was thinking of the poet, the Irish poet, John O'Donohue, who says, because I was thinking, you know, so many dimensions of poetry, so many dimensions of enrichment. And I was thinking of how he says that music is poetry, is what poetry would be if it could.
Ah, yeah.
So I was thinking that maybe you can add some of the music of Hildegard von Bingen to this podcast, because she was an herbalist. She was a woman. She was a healer. She was also, a writer of great symphonies. So the idea of that whole other dimension, and in bhakti, you know, the idea of that kirtan, the call and the response. Mm-hmm. Kirtan is the call and response. We call out and we wait patiently or impatiently for that for that response. So that is to me a metaphor of the exchange of love between humans, between plants. You know, like I go out in the wilderness and, you know, I'm thinking of Robin Wall Kimmerer, and she so patiently goes out into the wild and, you know, tries to open this dialogue and understand how the plants are offering themselves and which one to leave and which one to take, mm-hmm. and honoring the difference and honoring that different language that we don't speak. And, you know, another point that's so interesting is that the native people, they used peyote and they used tobacco, but in sacrificial ceremonial ways. And there was no addiction during those times. And nowadays, because of our culture, our, you know, rushed and abusive and throwaway culture, throwaway people, mm-hmm. you know, the native people are among the most addicted people in all ways, you know, addictions to liquor or other substances. But isn't it interesting that in their own culture, in their own time, in their own place, using peyote and using tobacco, there was no addiction. Such an interesting point to me.
Yeah. And I think, you know, plants have always been a part of ceremony in all cultures. You know, in the Christian churches, myrrh and frankincense being burned, they would use rue, twigs of rue to splash the holy water on the congregation. You know, in bhakti, the beautiful flowers that cover the altars and that, you know, the tulsi plant, which we'll, I'm sure, talk about. And then in certainly these mind altering plants. I mean, to me, it's like there's no good and bad people, you know, and there's no good and bad plants. They just have different proclivities and personalities, and they have different strengths and weaknesses and different ways that they interact.
Yeah. Remember I said to you earlier that I heard this saying that a weed is only a plant in the wrong pot.
Yes.
So, you know, like, the other, we're talking about the other here. So a weed, maybe it's just a plant that I don't know is healing propensities. I don't know it's healing properties. And so I call it a weed and I rip it out and I throw it in the trash. But, you know, it's a flower speaking another language that I don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, so interesting.
And Matthew Wood, one of my teachers, he said that, you know, look around where you live in your yard, look at the plants that grow around your home. And most likely they're the ones you need, that the energy, that there's a resonance between the plants and the people who live in a home. So, and he has so many stories of people, one man who was dying of a very specific cancer, and this vine kept growing up and trying to get in his window. And his daughter would come and chop it down and it would grow back, and he's, you know, on his deathbed. And after he passed, she started studying herbal medicine and learned that that plant was actually one of the perfect allies for that particular type of cancer. And it was just desperately trying to get in the window. I just get goosebumps and teary when I think about that. But just, you know, there's this attractive resonance and this friendship that, is a part of who we are. And like you said, you know, it's like the weeds are just, you know, yeah, plants in the wrong pot, or, you know, or as one of my late friends would say, is that they're volunteers, you know, like this plant just volunteered in my garden. But we have to ask that deeper question, just like we do of circumstances, is, well, why? What is the lesson? What is the teaching?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Can I share this favorite poem of mine from Rumi, which is called, we're talking about comparing weeds and, you know, allies and, you know, what's important and what can we throw out?
Yes.
Can I share this beautiful piece from Rumi?
Yes, please.
Okay, I love this. So he's comparing here. Sometimes we hear that comparing is the thief of joy, but this is a holistic and uplifting type of comparing that he's about to do. So he says, which is better? Oh, friend, which is better, sugar or the sugar maker? Is the beauty of the moon better or that of the moon maker? Oh, gardens, are you better or your orchards and flowers or the maker of flowers and fragrant daffodils? Oh, wisdom, are you better in your knowledge and understanding, or the maker of 100 instant insights and perceptions? Oh, love, though you cause frenzy and turbulence, there is one who makes fire of the devotee's love. I have lost myself in that oneness of love. I have become a wanderer. At times he burns my feathers. At times he makes me new feathers. His love fills the sea of my heart. He makes countless gems from particles of consciousness. And yet he crushes those gems and dissolves them in love, transforming such wondrous love into something else. He shines in my heart like the sun. He throws arrows externally and makes shields in essence.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And yeah, thank you. I'm so excited for these talks. And I think as we dive into this, just asking these questions, you know, like Rumi, which is better. And just, I think in some ways the questions can be more provoking than the answers.
Yeah.
So I'm so looking forward to this, and we'll be releasing our first talk, hopefully in the next few weeks or so, on rose, and then other plants. And I just want to point people to a few different places where you'll be able to listen, because there's various platforms where we'll be publishing these talks. So they'll be posting on the Sky House Herbs YouTube website or channel. Also on Rukmini's Patreon community site. So I'll include a link in the description where you can find, and you can also just look up Rukmini Walker on Patreon and join her Patreon community where you can donate and then receive this talk, as well as a lot of beautiful ruminations and poetry and sharings from Rukmini, and classes, and get on her mailing list for classes she's teaching. Rukmini also will be posting this on her YouTube, which is Rukmini Walker. And then on Bhakti Wednesdays that are hosted on Nightlight Astrology's website. So you can find these talks in all of those places. And please do subscribe to all of our channels to support us. That really, really helps. And if you can, like them. So just click the little like, click the subscribe, because that helps other people find these talks and expose them to the work that we're so passionate about sharing. So thank you, Rukmini.
Thank you so much, dear Ashley. What a beautiful time together. Thank you so much. I hope everyone appreciates this conversation about learning from the other, learning from the one who is different, who speaks a different language. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you, everyone, for listening, for watching, and we'll see you again soon.